This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
I mean, as much as Kamara's carried it down here, they give it to him, and he stands up into the end zone for a Saints touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Shakerton's in Arlington. I know my map app said it wrong and said Shakerton's may not be open. It's Shakerton's, and they are open. So come on out in Arlington off of Collins Street if you want to come see the show. And right now on the D&M Hotline, we bring to you Saints beat reporter Ross Jackson. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, guys, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on. Hope y'all are holding up well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I sorry if I asked that so slowly, but I know clearly storms have been an issue. Is it a, you know, is it going to be a hurricane? Is it going to be a tropical storm? Either way, it's going to be really rough. How has that impacted your life? And then I guess perhaps the Saints preparation?
Yeah, I mean, personally for me, nothing big here. I'm all good. Everything's been fine in terms of the area that I was in with the way that the storm kind of dispersed. It was a little bit lighter. Now, over where the Saints training facility is out in Metairie, they kind of got, pummeled a bit. They got overwhelmed by some of the water, flooding and stuff like that. But as far as I understand it, when it comes to the Saints facility and everything, things are all good. So what they kind of did was that they moved their practice up yesterday to make sure that all the players are able to get home to their families and kind of be there and hunker down during the storm. And then today they've moved things a little bit later so they can get some of those extended meeting times that they would have missed yesterday in today. But otherwise, practice time, participation, all these other things were pretty much the same, just kind of moved around a little bit in terms of scheduling.
One of the things that I saw you talking about and the Saints talking about this week is kind of following the edict of it's just one game. I know it was a dominating victory, but do you get the sense that that message has sunk in or like how the team is prepared to follow up with, hey, I know we dominated, but it's one game. Let's keep going.
Yeah, I think that's very much going to be kind of their mentality throughout this season. I mean, they were kind of talking about that even going into that Carolina Panthers game, where like no matter what happens in this matchup, it's 1-0 or it's 0-1, it's one game and then we move on to the next. And so they're kind of like been fixing that as their mentality, even through training camp when we spoke to them and spoke to players and coaches, and they kind of had that same type of mentality. So I think that's just the way that they're going to approach this season, is kind of really kind of try to play the mentality of the game-by-game situation, which is kind of the mentality of the underdog, right? Like, the mentality of the underdog is kind of that way. Like, this goes how it goes, and then we correct and move forward, or however it is that you want to think about it. And so I think the New Orleans Saints are kind of looking at it in that same perspective.
Were the Panthers that bad?
It's a great question, because I do think that there's some truth to that. I do think that, like, yes, the Carolina Panthers are absolutely abysmal. Like, I do think that that is the case. But I think that that's a situation that they are okay with right now, because they've kind of – I give the Panthers a lot of credit for just kind of embracing where they are in the NFL life cycle. We watch so many teams try to ignore the fact that they're in that rebuild area and try to compete and try to stay up and all these other things. And Carolina just kind of said, you know what? Got a young quarterback, going to focus on that. And really, this whole season for them is about the development of Bryce Young more than it is about anything else. And so I applaud them for having that mentality. And so I think that that does make it a little bit challenging when you look at the New Orleans Saints opening performance of a 47-10 victory, to kind of go, how much of that was that the Saints are good now, and how much of that is that the Carolina Panthers are just a bad football team? So I think you kind of have to look at the things that are independent of the opponent. What was their play calling like? Did they include their easy buttons in their offense? All these other things. And I think they checked a lot of those boxes that could still bring some cautious optimism for fans as they get ready for a much more challenging opponent, the Dallas Cowboys, this weekend.
That's a great line to throw in there, because one of those other things to look at is Clint Kubiak and what he's brought to this offense, and how much did it change with the personnel that they do have? How much did the what they want to accomplish change offensively?
Yeah, pretty impressive in terms of what they were able to do over on the offensive side. So again, leaving alone the opponent of the Carolina Panthers, kind of just looking at their play calling tendencies, they went from number 27 in the NFL last year in tight end target distribution to the top of the NFL in week one here in 2024. They went from using just over 33% of their snaps, including motion in just over 33% of their snaps, my apologies, in last year's season to over 60% in that opening game. So they took a big step forward in terms of the use of motion. And then Derek Carr's play action dropback percentage went from just over 14% to 40%. Here. So to kind of bundle that all together, because I know numbers aren't always great for, you know, great in these audio formats and things like that. But like, that's a big jump, and three of their kind of biggest depleted areas from last season in terms of getting their offense in rhythm and finding ways to be able to kind of challenge a defense in new ways. So Clint Kubiak's brought a lot of those easy buttons, motion, play action, RPO, screens, things like that, back to this New Orleans Saints offense.
How vital is it not only that the changes got made, but at least in week one, they were really effective? I believe it was an article I was reading from you that said Carr was 7-9 out of these play action attempts for a touchdown, had a 130 passer rating. So how encouraging is that not only did they up it, they were effective at it?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing to where what you're trying to look for in this offense, particularly on the offensive side here, is that in terms of improvement, you're looking for, you know, the play calling improvements, which we just notated. You're looking for the execution improvements, which I think that's a really good example of that. Derek Carr, not only that, but also being perfect down the middle in this game, which was an area of the field that they didn't attack very much in the passing game last year. We also saw him throw only one incomplete pass and pick up a bulk of his yards, as well as two touchdowns by targeting the intermediate area of the field, another spot where they didn't successfully target last year. So we saw some shifts in his game that kind of replicate what we saw from his most successful side towards the end of the season, where he had a really, really good close to the year. And so we saw some of those same elements kind of be pervasive through that six-game stretch and then now this opening game. And then the last thing that you're always looking for in this is the individual effort and how that leads to impact. And I think we saw that from the offensive line. We saw that from Alvin Kamara. We saw that from Taysom Hill. And so there's a lot of those little elements of kind of checking all three boxes over the course of that opening Carolina Panthers game.
You just mentioned one of the names that inquiring fantasy minds want to know. What exactly is going on with Taysom Hill?
The answer is yes. everything is going on with Taysom Hill, right? I mean, you know, he wears the number 7, but he also played 7 different positions over the course of that game against the Carolina Panthers. He played at fullback, running back, tight end, wide receiver, or excuse me, not wide receiver, but tight end, and then also, played in all four, he's a four-core player, so he'll be involved in every part of the return abilities as well as coverage units, with the exception of a punt return. He's not a returner in that situation. He's trying to block a punt in that situation. So he's on the field constantly. And, you know, I think that he's going to be utilized quite a bit in this game. I imagine he's going to be a big focus. I mentioned earlier that the Saints were number 1 in the NFL in week one in terms of tight end target distribution. I think that's going to probably shift going into this game, because with Dallas's really, really successful and efficient pass rushers, I expect a lot of those tight ends to kind of stay in and help block. And so Taysom Hill becomes a weapon because he can chip and release, run a route for you. You can line him up, you know, at quarterback, and then, of course, get him involved in the run game and have him run out of the backfield to either help with blocking or, you know, contribute to the run game. So I would expect a lot of different things going on when it comes to Taysom Hill and the ways that he will be utilized, because whether it's throwing, catching, or running, I think he's a shoe-in to be involved at some point in all three of those things in a game.
One of the Cowboys' strengths is Micah Parsons. I mean, the ability to get at the quarterback and take advantage of that opportunity on the edge. One of my favorite players to watch during the our draft coverage was your left tackle, Talisi Fuaga. How has he progressed? How has he done? How do you feel after that first game?
He had a fantastic opening game, really, really good, especially for all intents and purposes, he's still a rookie starting left tackle, right? Like, not an easy position to be in. And I thought that he looked really strong in this game. Now, Carolina's got one of the weaker pass rusher groups in the NFL, if not the weakest. So if nothing else, it's a big confidence building game for him, right? Like, he was able to go out there and kind of establish his play demeanor and all those things that you like seeing on his college tape at Oregon State. I think you saw a lot of that in this game as well. But he still had to match up with guys that are talented, right? Jadeveon Clowney, he got a really great rep that he just kind of climbed the entire into the second level with Derrick Brown in tow, the starting defensive tackle whose season is unfortunately over now, but is a very talented player. And so I think that he built a lot of confidence this week. I think that this week up against Dallas, again, I would expect him to get some help, but it's going to be a real kind of test of where he truly is, kind of a litmus test. The tough thing here is that you know Micah Parsons is going to get his. He is, in my opinion, the best defensive player in the game of football, was last year, probably could have been the year before too. And for me, I think that, you know, the biggest thing for him or for Taliese is to make sure that, like, when Micah Parsons does make his play, that you erase him and move on. You know, you have to have that short memory, and then it's on the Saints to kind of minimize the effect of that and when Parsons does get those plays.
Kind of like that little dig in there at the AP voters for not voting him for Defensive Player of the Year. I dig that. We're talking with Ross Jackson. Yeah, Ross Jackson right here, Locked On Saints, beat writer for Louisiana Sports, and Saints analyst for WWL-TV. Another thing that I know it might have been precautionary, how is Marshawn Lattimore looking? And then I'm curious, when he was out, what did you think about the performance of Kool-Aid?
Yeah, so to update on his status so far, he has told us several times now that he's fine. However, he didn't participate in practice on Wednesday. Now, I will say that the Saints have a very common, or I guess what we see from them oftentimes, is that they're very precautious when it comes to injuries nowadays. And so especially with a hamstring injury, which is always typically, like, if it's not fully healed, it's a matter of when, not if, it gets worse. And so I think some of that was just them kind of being careful. So maybe a big one to watch, of course, going into this week, and we'll see how it goes. Now, the advantage to a guy like Marshawn is that he has been in this system with Dennis Allen from the moment that he was drafted back in 2017. And so he could conceivably not practice Wednesday, Thursday, be limited on Friday, and then still play on Sunday. Like, he's one of those, you know, those core guys. And so because of that, it's worth watching the injury report, but I do think that there'll be a little bit of gamesmanship here by New Orleans. He'll be questionable on Friday, and then it's going to be a big old game time decision on Sunday or something like that. So we'll see which way it goes, but that's kind of what I would watch there. I did think that rookie second round pick out of Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry, fared well. He did have one, you know, play on a scramble where he came off of this coverage that he didn't necessarily need to. Dennis Allen highlighted that in one of his recent media availabilities. But outside of that, he played 27 snaps on defense, I believe it was, and played particularly well. I mean, you know, again, not the most challenging situation over there for Carolina, with Carolina, and then eventually, you know, a very in-game situation for them. But it was a good opportunity for him to get out there, learn a little bit, go back, see the tape this week, and then see what he's able to do moving forward. But you'd love to have Marshawn Lattimore out there against these talented wideouts in Dallas.
Man, outstanding stuff, Ross. We really, really appreciate it, and glad to hear that you're staying safe, and hopefully all the folks in New Orleans are as well.
Thank you, buddy. Really appreciate that. Thanks again for having me on. Really appreciate it.
There you go, Ross Jackson, right here on 105.3 The Fan. He was a wealth of information.
Does that two Jacksons? Did we have Zach Jackson last time, or was it Zach?
It was something.
Jackson. So we've had two Jacksons on now. Both of them have delivered awesomely, dude. Okay. I'm proud of this. Good job, Alec.
So what Jackson will be next?
Action. All right.
Michael.
Oh, well, I'm afraid I have some terrible news to tell you off air, Alex.
I bet there's a Mike Jackson out there.
That's a good point. That is a good point. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Shakerton's in Arlington, courtesy of Corey Shirt. Now, I guess if you're not watching the YouTube or the Twitch, you probably need more description for that.